After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And suddenly there was an earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said." I'm going to say that bit again. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, for he was raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, they took hold of his feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say this. His disciples came by night and stole the body away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we'll satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. God's word to us this morning. Some of that came out in our testimonies, didn't it? He'll be with me always to the very end of the age. The passage I just read to you is the absolute pinnacle of the story. It's the pinnacle of the gospel. It's the climax of the gospel. And many of us in the room likely watch movies, right? And when you're watching a movie, you are carefully following the story, and some stories in some movies are a little more predictable than others, so you don't have to do all that much following. But you follow the story, and then there's other stories that they keep you guessing throughout. I would argue that they're good movies. They keep you guessing towards the end. And it's not until the last scene, or maybe the last couple of scenes, that finally it all makes sense, and you have that aha moment. And then maybe you start replaying some of the earlier scenes, and you're like, "Oh, that's why that happened, or that's why she said that. That makes sense now. It all makes sense." It's the pinnacle of the story. Well, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the pinnacle of all pinnacles. And you can imagine the disciples, when the women and the disciples, when they're meeting with Jesus, the resurrected Christ, for the first time, you can imagine them saying things like, "Oh, it makes sense now. That's why Jesus said that. When he said it at the time, it seemed like such a cryptic thing to say, and I didn't get it. But now I understand what he meant. Now it makes sense. Now it all makes sense." Many of us take for granted this story because we just know it so well. But it is hard to underestimate the shock and the wonder of those women on that first morning. The shock and the wonder and the awe. Without the resurrection, Matthew doesn't have a gospel. We've been reading through the book of Matthew. In fact, we've been preaching through it for a couple of years now, and we've reached the end point, the pinnacle. But you know what? Without the resurrection, Matthew doesn't have a gospel. Without the resurrection, Mark and Luke and John, well, they don't have gospels either. Without the resurrection, we here at Seven Oaks Church, all that's happened here over the years, well, it's all somewhat futile, really. I mean, we could say, well, we've done some good things, but really it's all kind of futile. Because what we're left with is Jesus as a dead man in a tomb, and his promises dead with him. But with the resurrection, we have the source of all hope for humankind. The cross and the tomb, they act for us kind of like symbols. The cross and the tomb are symbols of death and the grave. And so for us, death and the grave come to all of us. And so everybody in this room will face death and the grave sooner or later. And that sounds pretty grim and depressing, doesn't it? And it seems futile. Is this how it all ends? It seems very hopeless. Is this really what the lot of humanity is all about? That we get born and we hopefully enjoy childhood and then we go through school and then we graduate and we go and get a job and it seems like we work all hours God sends, and then if we're lucky enough to retire with enough money and enough good health, then we can enjoy a few years before we die. Is that really what it's all about? How futile. Doesn't sound particularly exciting to me. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ symbolizes the defeat of death and the grave. The resurrection tells us that death and the grave actually don't have to have the final word in our world. Jesus rose from the dead, and in doing so, he defeated the grip of death, that the grave couldn't hold on to him, the grave couldn't keep him there. By his defeat of death and his overcoming the grave, what he's done is he's paved the way for you and me to live both fully alive, spiritually alive now, and to join him in his mission in this world, and also to be able to follow him at our own death, that we too can share in that resurrection, we can share in that victory, and the death and the grave doesn't have to be the final word for us. And so if all of this is indeed true, then to miss Jesus in this life has to be the greatest tragedy of all, doesn't it? What a futile life we're really left with. In our passage, the women are told to go and tell the disciples, go ahead of me, go to Galilee and say, Jesus is going to meet you there. Go and tell the people. And so connected to the resurrection event is a calling to go and tell people about it. So the gospel ends with a resurrection, but then it really ends with a commission. And the commission is to go into all the world and tell people about the resurrection. It's to go and be a witness to the resurrection and to go and baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus' resurrection is not about God trying to prove a point. And it's not about offering people a new spiritual experience. What the resurrection is about is actually about God confirming his promises. It's about God being good on his promise. It's about God starting something radically new as he fulfills his purposes. And the disciples' job, and by extension our job, is to go and tell people about this radical new thing that is possible. As Lyle said a few moments ago, everything changed. So the people who were baptized this morning, and you listen to their stories, and the people who are going to be baptized in just a few moments, as well as me, and as well as many of you, are alive in Christ now. We're spiritually alive in Christ now, and we have the promise, we have access to God, and we have the promise of a resurrection at the end of time, a resurrection to new life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So friends, church family, guests, visitors, if you have never actually allowed all of your mistakes and all of your issues and all of the bad things you've done, all of your sins and all of those things, if you've never actually allowed them to be nailed to that wooden beam on Good Friday, and if then you've never turned and allowed the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we celebrate on Easter Sunday, to become a reality in your heart, then I encourage you and I say to you, now is the time. Please talk to somebody about that, because as I said, to miss Jesus in this life is the greatest tragedy of all. 2,000 years downstream of that angel visit to the women, so people keep coming alive to Jesus Christ today through his resurrection power, and they feel the unction, and they're challenged by the word of God to go and tell other people about it, and so more people come and get baptized and come to faith in Christ and get baptized and are encouraged to join in with the commission and the calling and all of that. And what happens is we result in more people coming to faith. And so we've heard about that already this morning with 5 people, and we're going to hear about it again now as another 4 people step into the waters of baptism. This is what it's all about. Tim, back over to you.